If you ain't got anything to say, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I hope that you, in your study time at home, or wherever you study at, that you will study the things that we talk about and see it, is this what the Bible says? You see, I can go to Mark chapter 16 and show you that Jesus Christ said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But if I don't show you who he's talking about, when the time is, then I'm not doing you justice. Because we got a lot of churches that build doctrine out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because of what Jesus Christ said in his earthly ministry. And there's no possible way that we, as believers, and when I say believers, I'm talking about believing that Jesus Christ died at Calvary and paid for all of our sins, that we're putting our faith and trust in that, do have eternal life with him. There is no way that I can establish you, or you can establish yourself, by the doctrine in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It will not work. There's doctrine in there that you can't do. There's doctrine in there, if you try to do it, you're going to starve to death, or you get on welfare, or whatever. Because when Jesus Christ trained them people, he told them to sell everything you got. Give it to the poor and come follow me. Well, how are you going to do that today? If you don't work or have some kind of income coming in, you can't even buy a gallon of gas today. And it takes a lot of money to travel. And you're going to try to follow Jesus in his earthly ministry, you're going to get in trouble. Either that, or you're going to have to sweep it under the rug and just say, "Well, we don't fool with that in this church. We just believe in following Jesus, and these things that we can't understand, we just don't deal with." But in the last verse, in Mark chapter 16, the Lord confirmed his word with signs following. So those that believed and were baptized did signs and wonders. They had the power to drink deadly poison, take up serpents, heal the sick, cleanse a leper, raise the dead. You can't do that. Now, there's some people faking it. And that's the only way they get by doing it, because people sit in their churches and never study to see, did the scripture tell me that I could do that? Now, this is what this class is about. It's about building the saints up in the faith. Why? That we are not tossed to and fro in these latter days. I believe the more I study, the more I see what Paul is talking about in the last days of Romans to Philemon. He's not talking about the last days of the tribulation. That's for Israel. He's talking about before the rapture of the church, we're going to be able to identify these last days, not by signs and wonders, but by people turning from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What are they doing? They're speaking lies and hypocrisy. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Y'all know what they used to sear wounds years ago, especially in the Civil War, with a hot iron. Y'all want your mind seared like that? I don't. I want to be open-minded, and that's what I want you to be in this class, open-minded to the scriptures, not to what I say, but to the scriptures. Because what I say don't amount to a hill of beans. It's what the Bible says about itself and about this dispensation that we live in. Now, with all of that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read here, but first, would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the time this morning. We thank you for the open door here. We ask you to be with the business that operates here. You meet their needs to keep the doors open. And Father, we thank you for the words that we have here. We can put our faith and confidence in the 1611 King James Bible that you preserve for us. And Father, we ask you this morning to be with us and teach us your word by your spirit. Build us up in the faith that we be a better witness for thee. And Father, we continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with these people, to heal them according to thy will. And Father, most of all, we ask you to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. This is the ones that Paul's writing to. They had a testimony of trust in Jesus Christ, so that you come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know that Jesus Christ has more than one coming. We know that he has times. Now there's a time for the rapture of the church, and then there's a time for the gathering of Israel after the tribulation at the second coming. In other words, there's a 7-year period of time after the rapture of the church that God's dealing with Israel over here on the other side. And over here is the gospel of the kingdom preached as he trained 12 men in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to carry on the ministry after he was going to be crucified and buried and resurrected the third day. He's going to ascend back up to where God the Father is. They rejected him. They said, we'll have no king but Caesar. Crucify him, and they did. Now, through that crucifixion in the book of Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared to Saul of Tarsus and gave him a dispensation to those who first trusted in Christ. They were in the synagogue when Paul went to the Jew in there, and they were in the covenants of promise back here of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. They were allied with Israel. They were in the covenant promises. They claimed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their fathers. And in Acts chapter 18, the Lord appeared to Paul and told him, get out of Jerusalem. I'm going to send you far hence to these Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise. And I teach, and the Bible is clear about this, that Paul had two different dispensations. You understand? Now, in these two dispensations, Jesus Christ is the head of a body. Paul is the first member in that body. What is that body? It's his body that was resurrected in AD 33. All the members that God foreknew that would trust Christ as their personal Savior were resurrected in AD 33. We ascended up on high, and we are now in the kingdom of His dear Son. I'm not looking for the kingdom to come over here. So this Lord's Prayer, so-called Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, has nothing to do with the church of body of Christ.
Amen.
You understand? It has to do for Israel. Thy kingdom come. Why? They can't get into the kingdom until God establishes that kingdom. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached, you by wicked hands, you've crucified the Lord, but God hath raised him from the dead to sit on the throne of his father David. Paul preached the resurrection, that Jesus Christ was the head of the body, the church, which is his body. So you, if you're in this room and you're saved, if you've trusted Christ, you are a member of his body. You understand? You don't have to join nothing to be in the church, which is his body. The Holy Spirit knows your heart. He knows if you've trusted Christ as your Savior or not. And if you haven't, he knows that. And if you have, you were baptized by the Spirit into this body. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, God Almighty knew us before. Let's say this represents the foundation of the world. Before that, God already knew who would trust Christ as their personal Savior based on his foreknowledge. You see, I contend, this is my personal belief. Now, I don't know if I can prove this to you or not, But I believe when God recreated the world back here, He reestablished it after something happened to it in Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. The earth became void. God didn't create it void. He told us that in Isaiah. But after that, He recreated it. And I believe on the sixth day, it was done. And on the seventh day, the Bible says He rested from all of His work. So I believe all of this was done in 6 days in the mind of God. He already knows it.
Where in Isaiah?
Sir?
Where in Isaiah?
Where in Isaiah? Who?
Yeah,
did I say something about Isaiah?
Yeah. How many miles?
Yeah. Where in Isaiah does it show that He recreated or He did a repair job? You know, you.
He said He didn't create it void.
Yeah, but
well, let's start in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis first. In Genesis chapter 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, all your new satanic Bibles, and I call them all after Satan, you know what they do right there? They put an S on heaven. No, in the beginning. Now, listen to me. The beginning is back here. Okay? This is the recreation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now watch what He says. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know what your New King James Bible says right there? About the Spirit of God moved. The New King James Bible says that God's Spirit hovered over the waters. Like a helicopter, you know, hovering. No, the Spirit of God moved. He did something. Now, go to Isaiah. Listen, what I'm saying, in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, the earth became void. The word was is the same word translated became. Go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Look at verse, let's go to verse 5, and we're going to jump around in here. I am the Lord, that is, and there is none else. Was there any other Lord?
No.
But one Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. Well, now, are there many gods in the world today?
Yes.
How many everybody's got their own God. Mm. Some of them, they cut a tree down and they fashion it like a man. And some of it, they take and burn in the fire, and they get tired of worshiping that, and then they cook with it. And they worship that thing as a god. It can't move. It can't do nothing. It's just a dead limb. That's all. Now watch what he says. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. Create evil. Oh, Lord, oh, my goodness. You mean God created evil? Do y'all know how God created evil? What did you tell Adam? Of every tree thou mayest freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did Adam eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
Sure did.
Sure did. I, the Lord, do all these things. For time's sake, come over to verse 12. I have made the earth, created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. You know why he says heavens here? In the recreation. Hold your place here. Go back to Genesis. Chapter 2. After the 6-day creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens, in other words, in the recreation, back there in Genesis chapter 1, God made a firmament and he called it heaven. He put two lights in there. The sun to rule the day, the greater light, and the lesser light, the moon and the stars, to rule the night. Y'all know what time we're in now according to Israel?
Our night.
We're in night time. Who's ruling the day? Satan, the god of this world. You know what he's doing? He's blinding people's minds lest they see the light of the glorious gospel and be saved. Paul said that glorious gospel was committed unto me, who was before blasphemed. Now, Isaiah chapter 45, look at verse 16. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. When will that happen? Second coming over here. Israel ain't saved today, beloved. Israel is God's enemy today. God had divorced Israel, Jeremiah 3. He divorced them, and in Romans, after Acts 28, Israel came lo and nigh, not God's people. So when Paul went to these people over here that were not in the covenants of promise, they had no hope. You see, I keep driving that at people. No hope. You couldn't say that about these who first trusted in Christ. They had a hope as long as Israel's on the scene. But when Israel became Lo Amni, man had no hope to get to God. Only hope they had was in the mystery of the gospel. Now, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord. Now watch what he says. That created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. Colossians chapter 1. Did God say he created this world?
Yes.
Did he say he created man that's in it?
Amen.
He sure did. Hebrews chapter 8, Colossians chapter 1.
Hebrews or Proverbs?
What did I say?
Proverbs.
Did I say Hebrew? My golly.
He said both.
Man, y'all better pay attention to what I'm saying. In Colossians chapter 1 and Proverbs chapter 8. I reckon I got the new covenant on my mind then, Hebrews chapter 8. God said, this is my covenant with Israel when I'll take away their sins. You see, our sins are already taken away. They're gone. God don't want to see them. They're out of the way. Now, we in Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. Well, now, if I can pick up a Bible that's got lies and omissions and problems in it, that ain't the Word of God. You understand? All my words, that's God's words. There ain't nothing forward or perverse in them. They, verse 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth. Well, are they plain or are they hard to be understood?
No, they're plain.
They're kind of plain, ain't they? That's why Paul said we use great plainness of speech. In other words, I got some, every now and then I get some brochure from some people, and I have to get the dictionary out and read the thing. Well, of course, that's probably because I'm very unlearned, but they use these big old crocodile words that I can't even pronounce, much less understand what they mean. Plain, simple, real down to earth, understandable. Now, verse 11. Now, what God is talking about here is his wisdom. For wisdom is better than rubies. He is not talking about the wisdom of this world. He's talking about his wisdom. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Our wisdom dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Is this thing that God hates? Well, you know, I hear these preachers on TV, oh, you ought not to hate your neighbor. You ought not to hate. Hate is of Satan. Are you sure about that? Didn't God say he hated something?
Yep.
He sure did. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. For time's sake, come over to verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ere the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. Who brought forth? Did God Almighty say he created all of it? Hold your place and go to Colossians and let's just understand our Bible, who this creator is. In Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's past tense, beloved. Hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, we're already in the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen.
I mean, you can't beat that. And beloved, this is a spiritual kingdom.
Amen.
In the church, the body of Christ, there's neither Jew, Gentile, bond or free, male or female. We're all one in Christ. Where is Christ at? He's at the right hand of God the Father in the throne room. Where are we at spiritually?
Christ.
With Christ in the kingdom of his dear Son in the throne room with God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Now watch what he says here. Verse 14, in whom, dear Son, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins.
Wait a minute.
Did I did something wrong?
Yeah. Back then, bro.
Well, now wait a minute. Now we got a new translation here, and we had to have a new translation so we could understand this thing. That's what they say. Well, you know, I can't understand that 1611 King James Bible. Why? God Almighty said all my words are plain. He said there's nothing forward or perverse in them. Well, why you got to get a new translation? Well, we don't talk like that. Well, God Almighty does.
Amen.
And if you don't talk like God does, you ain't going to get there.
Amen.
You ain't going to make it. You ain't going to understand the King James Bible if you don't say we, thee, and thou. You understand? We who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye, those in chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. Now, let's read it like God wrote it. Verse 14, in whom, reference to his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Do you know that all of your other translations that are translated from the corrupt text, they don't have this phrase threw his blood in it, but yet some of the printers put it back in. Now that's a double crook. You understand what I said? Do I need to say that again? The corrupt text that your corrupt Bibles are translated from do not have the phrase "through his blood," yet some of the new translations put it back in it. That is a crook. Now you reckon why they won't do that?
Confusion.
It's confusion. You know who the author of confusion is? Satan. Not God. God's plain. Very plain. Very plain man. Now watch what he says. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who, reference to Jesus Christ, his dear son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now watch what he says, and pay attention to what you done read back there in Isaiah when he said, I created all this, I did this. I'm talking about the Lord. For by him, by who? His dear son. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. 1 John says these three are one. He said there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Do y'all know what John chapter 1 verse 1 says? In the beginning was the Word. It's a capital W. The Word was with God. All the Word in there is capital. Every word, W-R-D, word, not every word that's in the verse, but every time you see the word, word, it's in capital. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and by him were all things made, and without him was not anything made. Who created this world? Jesus Christ did. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are one. Jehovah's Witness don't believe that. They believe Jesus Christ is a created angel. No, he ain't. He's God manifest in the flesh. Now, I'm going to show you that in a minute. We're going to go back to Proverbs. There's a verse back there that we need to see. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by him, that's a reference to his dear son, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Why were we created?
For him.
For ourselves?
Nope.
No, for his purpose. Go to John chapter 1 and Proverbs 8. Go to John chapter 1. Proverbs 8. Now, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 25. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. Well, who is the I? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the express image of God Almighty, Hebrews says. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the deeps, the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. You know, I can't help but think about the question that was asked in the Bible, and I'll challenge you, and I'm not going to tell you where it's at. You just find it out. It's in this book. What if the foundation were destroyed? Where will the righteous be? And God asked another question, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Check it out and see if you can find where that's at. Give you a problem to solve. I know where I was. You got any idea where you were before the foundation of the world? I was in the mind of God in Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father before I was ever born. Man, you can't beat that.
Amen.
You can't beat it. Fort Knox ain't got nothing no better than that. If there is any gold in Fort Knox, if you had it all, you can't purchase that. That's a free gift.
Amen.
Wow. Now watch what he says here. Verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. Well, there's two people there now, ain't there? When I was by him, I and him ain't the same, are they? As one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Now watch what he says, verse 31, real close. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Go to John chapter 1. Now, believe your book. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Did we just read that? In Proverbs 8, I was by him. The same was in the beginning with God. Now what did I leave out? Y'all ain't following me. Y'all done got ahead of me or behind me. I left something out. What did I leave out there?
The Word
was God. Is there a word somewhere? I remember Brother Moore asked a famous preacher one time, the man's dead now, had a college up in Michigan, asked him, he said, tell me, where in the world can I put my hands on a book that is the preserved word of God? And the man said, you can't. Ain't that terrible? If I can't put my hands on a book that is God's preserved word, God has done lied to me. And we might as well just check out of here now and never come back.
Amen.
I got a book right here in Psalms 12 that God Almighty said was tried in a furnace of earth as silver and gold is tried. You know what you do when you try silver and gold? And he said it's tried 7 times. You drag off the dross off the top of it and you throw it away. You do that 7 times, you got some pure stuff there. Well, God said his word was tried 7 times. And he said it's all plain. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that hath understanding. We got a lot of idiots in the world that call themselves preachers.
Amen.
And they are ashamed to use a 1611 King James Bible. They're afraid they'll lose their job. They're afraid they'll get kicked out of the church.
Mm. Maybe they're going to lose that salary.
Ain't that the truth?
That money. Free home.
Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. What was with God in the beginning?
The Word.
Okay? We established the fact that the Word was with God. As we said, read in Proverbs, I was by him. Something was by God Almighty, the Lord, that created the heavens and the earth. Now watch what he says. Verse 3. All things were made by him. What we read in Colossians chapter 1, that Jesus Christ made all things, well, they were all created by him and for him. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Did Jesus Christ make it all?
Amen.
He sure did. All things, in verse 4 now, in him was life. Where is my life at?
In Christ.
How do I know that?
His word.
By this 1611 King James Bible. How do I know that? By comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What have I got to do to be saved? Paul told the jailer in Acts 16 verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You ain't got to go nowhere. You ain't got to stop nothing. You ain't got to change what you do. You can't change what you are. I've tried and I cried and I still wake up the same old sore thing that went to bed at night. You understand? I can't change what I am. I'm sorry. I'm not proud of it. And it wasn't my fault to start with. The devil made me. No, Adam made me do it. Old Daddy Adam back here in the garden, he just blew the whole thing. Don't you reckon God Almighty knew that? You know how I know he knew that? Because he gave Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world to die for man's sins.
Amen.
He already knew it. Does he already know the end of the tribulation? Does he know the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign? He said he did. After the 1,000 years, Satan gonna be loosed a little again. Ain't nothing that God don't know, so you might as well just get on what you gotta do and do it. But make no mistake about it. Whatever you do, in words or deed, gonna come up at the judgment seat someday.
Amen.
We're gonna be judged. Not for our sins, they're gone. But we will be judged for what we did in the name of the Lord. And I suspect I don't think Benny Hinn will ever get to the judgment seat of Christ, but at the great white throne, the Lord's going to say to the angels, take this sore, low down rascal, and throw him into the lowest hell.
Amen.
I doubt very seriously if Benny Hinn is saved.
Billy Graham, me.
I doubt Billy Graham. I got an article, I don't know if it's in the back of my Bible or not, about Billy Graham writing about angels watching over us and protecting us. And when we die, the angels is going to come and take us up to heaven.
I know.
Gabriel ain't coming for you. I remember my mama's sister, a good Baptist lady she was, when she died, the preacher said, the angels came and took her to heaven. Ain't no angel gone. Joe, your angel been helping me?
Can't find me.
I watched the news, the weather the other day about some place up north, I don't know where it was. This old man running around. I'm not talking about it was iced over, snowed over, people running off the road in the ditch. He's out there in short breeches, a short sleeve shirt. Did anybody see that big old fat fellow with a beard and all? I thought about Santa Claus when I saw him. He's out there helping people, pushing their cars around so they can get moving and going again. And some lady said, there's my angel. Well, boy, that's an ugly looking angel. I want that thing for my angel. I want somebody to look better than me. No, look what he says here, back to John chapter 1. Verses, and I'm not going to read all of it. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. How do we have light from God and knowledge from God? The light that dwells in us bears witness with his life. You know what that light is? I believe it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That gives us light to be able to understand this Bible. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and justification and all. He's made us know His wisdom. And you know how we do that? By comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. I don't compare this book with what Dr. Snodgrass wrote about it. I compare God, what God says about Himself. You see, that's how you get understanding from God and wisdom from God. And He said in Proverbs, it's better than riches.
Amen.
His wisdom is. Now, come down to verse 10. He, reference to the Word, He was in the world. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. He came unto His own. And that ain't got nothing to do with you in this room. That's Israel. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to come the sons of God, even to them that believe in His death, burial, and resurrection.
No,
it don't say that. In His name. Don't put something in here that ain't there. When it comes down to the fact that when Jesus Christ died for your sins, Paul's the first one to know that. They didn't know that back here while Christ was dying. They knew He was going to die. The Old Testament prophet knew that. They knew how long His ministry would be, where He would come from, how He would come into Jerusalem. They knew that He would be resurrected and go back to God the Father, but they did not know why He had to die. Paul's the first man knows why Jesus Christ died. He died for men's sins. Now, watch what he says here. In John chapter 1, verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, those that believed on His name, He gave them power to become the sons of God. And they become the sons of God in resurrection over here after the rapture of the church. Luke chapter 20 is very clear about how they become the sons of God. They become the sons of God in resurrection. Now, watch what he says. Verse 14, very clear. Now, this is going to match Proverbs 8, verse 31. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Go back to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 31. Rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and My delights were with the sons of men. Now, when did Jesus Christ dwell among these people? Go back to verse 14. John 1, verse 14. Not Proverbs. John 1, verse 14. The Word was what?
Made flesh.
A body, Hebrews says, a body has Thou prepared me. Well, when was that body prepared? In a virgin. Her name was Mary. The Holy Spirit came on her. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He didn't dwell among us in Romans to Philemon. Through His death, we have salvation through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, not through the ministry of the 12. You can't follow Peter. Now, for just a few minutes, those who first trusted in Christ, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and Ephesians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Ephesians chapter 4. Can you get a nudge? Go to Galatians chapter 3 also. I'm just going to show you just a little bit. I got a new writings over yonder that I put some few things together for your comparison, for you to study, if you study. Mm-hmm. If you don't, I suggest you do. Mm-hmm. So you won't be tossed to and fro.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you, what's he saying? Okay. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and were all passed through the sea. Did these Corinthians claim Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their fathers?
Yes. Yeah.
You sure about that?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know who the fathers are? You know where you can find them written down in the Old Testament, who they are? I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's look at them and see. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And y'all know what Jesus Christ told them knuckleheads in John chapter 8? They asked him a question and said, how did Abraham see your day when you ain't even 50 years old yet?
Yeah.
You know what Jesus Christ told them? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Well, I'm going to show you who I am is. It was the Word made flesh and dwelt among them.
Amen.
Now, verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Well, who sent Moses? Jesus Christ did. You understand? Jesus Christ did all the work. The work was in 6 days. On the seventh day he rested. And you know what he did with the seventh day? The same thing he told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's made unto us sanctification. You know what sanctification is? Set apart. He sanctified the seventh day and he made it a holy day. Oh, we're all in trouble now. Any of y'all do any work yesterday? Which was the seventh day. I know this man did because I talked to him. He was working yesterday, wasn't he? He. Bad news. He did not hold the holy day holy. He worked. You know, I used to think about this after I found out what the seventh day was. Everybody thinks it's today, but this is the first day of the week. Seventh day of Saturday. I used to think about people that went to church and said, well, I can't do this. This is the holy day. This is the Lord's day. I can't go home and cook. Well, let's go to a restaurant and eat. You know what you're doing when you do that? You're causing somebody in there to have to cook your meal, wait on your table, take care of you, and you're causing them to transgress the holy day.
Amen.
Boy, I used to think about things like that. But now that I know the truth, it don't bother me. You know why? Every day belongs to the Lord. He's God of every day. Now, you know where your names of your days come from, don't you?
I know what you mean.
Satanic gods. Verse 15. Exodus 3, verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go to Psalms 138. Psalm 138. Now just believe your book. Psalm 138. Verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Does God put more importance in his word than he does his name? He most certainly does. And y'all know what Peter wrote over there. He said we have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter went up on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. He saw Moses and Elijah up there, and he heard the Lord speak to them, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Peter said we have a more sure word of prophecy. Got it right here in my hand.
Amen.
If I can't put my faith and trust in this, we are wasting our time. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Did they claim Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their fathers? Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That is spiritual baptism. Ain't got nothing to do with water. There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then the Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Are these people who first trusted in Christ, are they heirs with Abraham?
Yes.
Are they Abraham's seed?
Yes.
And according to the covenants of promise? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. These here claim Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their fathers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Did these Ephesians that Paul wrote to claim Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their father?
Yeah.
No, they did not. Go to chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time, as time passed to verse 11, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, hold the fort. Are those Galatians in the covenants of promise?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said they were.
Yes.
Did he say the Ephesians were in the covenants of promise?
No.
Oh, he didn't say they were, brother. Don't make them that way.
Amen.
And we got grace preachers that want to put all these Gentiles in the same boat, and they ain't.
Amen.
These here who first trusted in Christ, Paul found them in the synagogue, allied with Israel, in the covenants of promise, claiming Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their fathers. These over here that he wrote to after he heard of their faith in the Lord said, you are not in the covenants of promise. That ain't all. Look what he said, verse 12. That at that time you without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. You know, if Paul hadn't put that in that verse, it could have been a little bit controversial. But since he put having no hope in there, there ain't nothing to argue about. There ain't nothing to fuss about. There ain't nothing to compare about. Well, what about this verse? Well, who gives a flip about that verse? What does this verse say? They had no hope and were without God in the world. Was there any way for these people to get to God?
No.
You know how they got to God? Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Paul's asking for prayer. I got to hurry because my time's about gone. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Not the mystery which is the gospel. He's already been making known the mystery which was of the gospel. What was that? When Christ died at Calvary, had they have known that he was going to die for these people's sins, they wouldn't have crucified him. That was a mystery hid in the scriptures. This over here, according to Ephesians 3:9, was hid in God. Yes. Our salvation. That's why Paul said, rightly divide the word of truth. Ephesians 1:13, he said, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation.
Yeah.
No, no, no. The gospel of your salvation. Whose? Those that had no hope. No way to get to God until the mystery that was preached by Paul. And that's the proof text of Acts 26 that God said, I have appeared unto thee, Acts 9, in which I will appear thee, Acts 18. In Acts 22, when Paul said, the Lord told me to get out of Jerusalem, I'm going to send you far hence to these Gentiles. They said, away with such a fellow from the earth, it ain't fit that you should live. Why? Because he's going contrary to the scriptures about you. Everything these people had, Paul proved to them by the Old Testament scriptures. Acts 18, Acts 22, Acts 26, Acts 28. Go to Acts 28. Go to Acts 28. Paul is a prisoner. You know they knew Paul was a prisoner, but they didn't know why. You know why Paul was a prisoner? For us, Gentiles that had no hope, no way to get to God. When Paul went into that temple in Acts 18, he had no idea the Lord was going to appear to him. He knew sometime or another the Lord was going to appear to him, but he didn't know when or where. So in Acts 18, while Paul's in the temple, the Lord appeared unto him and told him to get out of there. I'm going to send you to these Gentiles over here that ain't in the covenants of promise. And when he told them that in Acts 22, they throw dust in the air and said, it ain't fit that you should live. People don't want to hear it now.
No.
We got grace preachers that don't want to hear it.
Amen.
You know why? They lack fellowship.
Yeah.
They had rather have fellowship with people than to preach the truth of the Word of God rightly divided.
Mm-hmm.
Now that just burns me up. And I have no respect for them. And when they get to the judgment seat of Christ, what they're doing is going to go up in smoke.
Amen.
Paul said in 2 Timothy, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, they have laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And it ain't just for him, it's for anybody that'll stand true to the Word of God, rightly divided. When Paul said rightly divide the Word of truth, he ain't talking about dividing the Old Testament from the New Testament. Paul would be a nut to think that, because he knew that the New Testament would be made over here after the tribulation. He said so in Romans chapter 11. He said, all Israel shall be saved as it is written. He knew Isaiah 59. Verse 20, Paul wasn't no ignorant boy that didn't know the scriptures.
Yeah.
Paul was a devout Jew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was a law-abiding Jew.
Yeah.
Acts 28. I want to show you something in verse 23. And when they had appointed him, that's Paul, a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Beloved, there ain't no difference in these people right here. Why would Paul say that this over here was hid in God? It's unsearchable. Don't hold your place there. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Look what Paul's preaching to these people according to the mystery of the gospel. Ephesians 3 verse 8. I got about a half a minute. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, beloved, I'd be a nut to tell you that he was preaching unsearchable riches back in Acts 28 when he took the Old Testament scripture and proved to them.
Amen.
You see, he proved to us, not by the scriptures, but by the mystery of the gospel. the mystery of the faith, the mystery of Christ. That when Christ died at Calvary, he also died for us. Appreciate you being here this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. My time's gone. Appreciate you.